You are tuned to 106.1 FM WSCALP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio, and welcome to Local Folk. That song, of course, was an indicator of who my guest is this evening. So that was like your appetizer. And now comes the wait for the main course, because, of course, I need to give you a little bit of info. So says the computer. All right. Some of you that are listening may know who my guest is, and some of you may not know. But for those of you who don't know, you're going to have to continue to wait, because I need to let you know what's going on in the community. My guest tonight, I've been trying to get on this program for quite some time. In fact, the first time that I probably tried to ask him or contacted him about being on the show, I don't even think that I had ever really performed with him. And now it's been such a long time that not only do we perform with one another, we perform weekly down at the Thirsty Irish Thursday in Newmarket at the Stone Church. And we have been rocking it out. We started with nothing, and now we have, like, the place is packed. And in no small part to Jordan Terrell Wasaki, he's on the sign inside the Stone Church where it's called Irish Night.
In embarrassingly large letters that I did not ask for
big,
the record.
Big letters. We want them in lights. That is what we want. But the tune that you heard before was off of Jordan's album, and the name of the album is Into the Cold. So if you're feeling kind of shivering, you can listen to that song, which is called Waking the Dragon. And you'll get warmed up by dancing to that. But he wasn't always a smoking hot fiddle player that he is right now. Were you?
I'm not sure I would even go so far as to say that. Attempting to be, perhaps.
Attempting to be. Well, I have to say that you are one person that I absolutely really enjoy performing with. I just have to throw that out there into the public forum. I really enjoy it because, you know, when you go on song tune, as we do down there at the Stone Church, I really love the tunes because as that last tune demonstrates, you bring a certain level of excitement to the tunes. Did you write that one?
I did, yeah. That whole album is all original material.
Okay, so are you a traditional musician then, or?
Well, I would say yes.
Okay.
And that's there might be people who disagree with me. I love traditional music. Okay. I got into the fiddle because of traditional music. Okay. And I also like to write my own tunes and experiment and play non-traditional music. So yes and no, I guess, would be the answer to that question.
Was that tune in the traditional style?
Probably not. I mean, you heard that, you know, there's drums and bass and everything on there. And, you know, I wrote it with sort of the typical A part, B part format of a fiddle tune, and then put in a, you know, kind of a jam like you might have in a rock song. And, you know, that was sort of an attempt to bridge some different genres and, you know, and see what happens.
So did you, I was listening, but I was also preparing to be on the show, and I have listened to this. This is one of those things where you pop it in when you're in the car, and you're just like, "Wee, where'd the time go?" You know, especially with a tune like that. So, but what you're saying is that there's an A part and a B part, like there would be traditionally in a fiddle tune. Does it go back and forth? Is it like two A's, two B's?
Yep, exactly.
So you go two A's, two B's, and then let's just do whatever, man. Is that what happened?
Pretty much. Well put. Yes, and then back to the two A's, two B's. And,
bring it back home to the two A's and two B's. All right. That's the way to go. I mean, if we could convince people, I'm not going to say who, I'd be all for that. Anyways, where were you born? Born around here?
Yep, I grew up in Canterbury, New Hampshire.
In Canterbury. Okay, mm-hmm. Now, do your folks play instruments?
My dad plays the saxophone in the Freeze Brothers Big Band. It was a very musical household growing up, but not necessarily in the traditional types of music and certainly not fiddle music. That was something that I kind of discovered as a kid and, you know, went into on my own and then, you know, drew the rest of the family in after me, whether they wanted to or not.
You drew them in.
I suppose. Yeah.
How is that? Tell me about that.
Well, I mean, for example, you know, when I was too young to drive myself to gigs, my dad would drive me to shows, and, and after a while, he, you know, playing contra dances and that sort of thing, people recognized that he was a saxophone player, and they started asking him to come up on the stage and play saxophone in some of these contra dance bands.
Really?
And, you know, it's not an instrument you would particularly, you know, usually think about having in a band like that, but he has a great ear, and he figured it right out, and so he... he occasionally even does some you know, more traditional gigs with the saxophone, even when I'm not around now. He picked it right up.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Does he ever play Mistwald with the sax?
You know, I don't think he has, but you'd have to ask him.
Hey, if he's good, I bet he can make it stick.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's almost like a bass part. You know, he'll do the doom, 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 and then, you know, on a tenor saxophone.
Okay, tenor saxophone.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Those are the big, I'm sorry. Yeah,
yes,
those are
almost the biggest. Yeah.
Almost the biggest.
Yeah,
it's,
but it's
the
got,
next step is huge, is caricaturistically gigantic, isn't
right.
it?
Right, yeah, that would be, I guess, the baritone? Is that what the next one would be?
Yeah,
I'm not,
I think
very
so.
Well-versed in my saxophone types.
Me
but,
either. That's why I'm trying to think of exactly, you know, what it is, but the tenor one, at least, is the one that kind of comes up and then curves way down like a gooseneck, sort of. Or...
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so he'd get up there and be playing the bass. Well, that's not obtrusive, really. I mean, that could be adding.
Absolutely. It'd fit right in.
See, I have a theory on the music myself that if you're adding, then great.
It's a good theory. I would agree with you.
It's very simple. It's, yeah. But that's just me, though. I mean, but you, what I'm hearing is that, okay, what our listeners don't know that I do know, though, is that your teacher was Jacqueline Loffman.
Yes.
Okay, of Dudley Loffman and Jacqueline Loffman, two fiddles,
mm-hmm.
right? And for those of you don't know, please just tell our listeners a little bit about why that's important.
Well, they are legends, and I'm not exaggerating that. Dudley is literally a national treasure. He was awarded the National Heritage Fellowship, which is the highest recognition that you can get in the country for traditional art. And he's they together have been worked together for a long time, calling traditional contra dances and barn dances and playing the fiddle. And they are, I mean, they are pretty much responsible. You know, certainly for myself, they're responsible for getting me into fiddle music. But it's really a whole generation of traditional musicians that were inspired by them, and in many cases directly taught by them. And that's one of the reasons that there are so many dances around the state today. I mean, if you listen to the folk show on Sunday nights, you know, Kate McNally will talk for 10 minutes straight about, you know, just listing all the dances that are going on. And that would not have been the case had it not been for Dudley and, you know, and then later on for Jacqueline. And they're, you know, just wonderful people. I understand you've had them on your show here, which is I'm glad to be in good company as a guest on this show. They're
they were a lot of fun to chat with. And this is they taught me a lot about music, so I think that they're naturally teachers.
Yes, absolutely, and they make it fun. They're very, not judgmental at all. And so even in the early days, when I'm sure my fiddling was just painful to listen to, they never let on that was the case. They're very encouraging, and you know, they even allowed me to sit in and play dances with them. You know, within a couple months of starting playing the fiddle, and
that's unusual, though. That didn't happen with all of their players, though, I don't think, or did it?
Well, maybe not all of them, but it's their attitude. It's a very sort of open, welcoming, encouraging attitude, and it makes a huge difference when you're teaching, especially a kid, a new instrument. I mean, if you are able to see the payoff of the work that you're putting in,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing if you're being told you have to sit down and practice for an hour a day, you know, for 3 years, and then maybe someday you'll be able to play a concert. But it's an entirely different thing, and it's a lot easier to grasp when you're 9 years old, if you're rehearsing for a gig, and then you get to go out and play a dance and have fun, and, you know, maybe get paid in a maple milkshake like I did for my first paying gig.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I think they should start including maple milkshakes.
I would still be up for that, really, you know.
I know, that's what I was saying. Maple milkshake, that sounds delicious.
Right.
So you grew up in the Canterbury Village. Is that how they found you? I mean, was it your dad going through some, your mom going through the ads in the paper and said, "Oh, here's fiddle lessons for you
from no,
Louth man."
Right. I mean, no, they came to visit my school. I was going to a wonderful little school called the Canterbury Children's Center.
Okay,
and they. The owners of the school, the teachers brought in Dudley and Jacqueline to play for the kids. And, you know, I was just really blown away by the whole idea of fiddling and dancing and, started taking lessons soon after. And it's been really kind of cool to see the way the generations have carried on, specifically through the Canterbury Children's Center, because I went back to play there, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years after graduating. It's just a first through third grade school. So it's a very small school.
Yeah.
And I went back and performed for the kids. And there was, there's a student there who heard me play and decided that she liked the idea of fiddling and went on to take some lessons and has become a fantastic fiddle player. Her name is Fiona Shea.
Really?
And she then went back to the Canterbury Children's Center a few years after graduating. She played for the students. And another student there has picked up the fiddle and is now my student. And there was a time last spring where we actually went, you know, there's a current student who plays and there was Fiona who inspired her. And, you know, I went back as the one who had introduced Fiona to it. And then to our surprise and to our great honor, Dudley and Jacqueline showed up as well. And so you had Dudley who had taught Jacqueline, who had taught me. I mean, it was like five generations of fiddle players that had all come through the Canterbury Children's Center.
That's fantastic.
It was a cool experience.
So it was like your musical family sort of.
Yep.
Yeah. This is sort of an aside. The word, when you put Canterbury with anything, it always makes it sound magical for some reason. I know you grew up there, right? You know,
I did. It was a pretty magical place.
Yeah. Canterbury Pub even sounds like Santa would be drinking there or something.
Right.
Is it? Canterbury Children's Pub. It was a magical place. Yeah, it was. It sounds like it, you know, for some reason. It sounds like the most magical place in the world. I mean, but, you know, that's just.
No, you're right. I was very lucky to have had the opportunity to grow up there.
It sounds like it. Well, what did your folks do for work? I mean, the place is off in the middle of nowhere.
Yep. My mom's a psychotherapist, and my dad worked for the Associated Press as a reporter for something like 35 years, I think, until retiring recently.
Well, yeah. That's super cool. So these people that were big-time traditionalists taught you growing up. And, in fact, even now, if you go to Dudley and Jacqueline's website, they have at least a big, long page about you, don't they?
They do. They're very supportive.
Yeah.
Still very encouraging to this day.
They love you.
Well, it's mutual. They're really wonderful people.
And how often you chat with them? Do you or?
Yeah, from time to time. You know, they've got a busy gig schedule and I've got a busy gig schedule, but from time to time we'll end up doing you know, shows at the same area, or, you know, occasionally we'll just pop over to visit a little bit and, you know, have dinner and catch up, and you know, that's always a treat.
That's super cool. Hey, I want to play something that is other than the traditional influence. You brought in a CD that has some influences on it, but what I'd like to do is play that for you. And you said that it was, who was this that's about to perform?
This is Natalie McMaster.
Okay, and do you know the name of the tune at all?
I think she calls this the encore. I think it's from a live show, and
the
it's,
encore.
You know, she used it as the encore.
Hey, there you go. Hey, we're going to listen to this for just a few minutes. For all you listeners out there, you're listening to Local Folk. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan. I'm with Jordan Terrell Wasaki. We're talking fiddle, traditional music, non-traditional music maybe as well, and we will be right back. Jordan, this sounds far too traditional.
Not Natalie McMaster.
We're going to try this one more time.
There it is.
We'll be back. We'll be right back.
got a few surprises too. So if you feel like joining in, if you want to stretch your legs, there's plenty of room in the aisles there. And I'm serious now, if you feel like going for it, don't be shy, it's just ourselves tonight. Here we go.
All right. You know what's interesting is that I do hear that other one clearly was quite traditional, but that was a miscue on my part. I would, you know.
Yes, that was Martin Hayes, who's a great, really great traditional fiddle player.
Okay, so now, but this what we're hearing right now, there's drums, but then I also heard a piano that sounded like it was doing something almost contradance-y in there or something, or at least,
yep.
You know, when you hear contradance music, you hear that fiddle, that piano-y stuff and yeah, everything else. But she's rocking it out there.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, she's got an electric guitar on stage with her during that song as well. And, you know, that's she really blends. I mean, she's very well respected. Natalie McMaster is very, very well respected as a traditional player. And she's got that covered. And then when she goes on the road and tours, you know, there's a lot of times where she has, for instance, like this live show, she's got the electric bass and the drums and the organ and, you know, some really talented guys on stage with her that are able to kind of bring that rock energy to the traditional music and you know, perhaps make it interesting and accessible to a wider range of people.
And that's a very important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a very tricky balance. And I think, you know, I can't imagine that she really alienates too many people by doing that. But I'm sure there are some who would say, you know, there's drums in this and therefore it's not traditional. And
well, they could say it's not traditional, but they don't have to say that it's not good.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
So, and it really kind of, you know, because I mean, there are people that most people adapt the tradition in one way or another. In fact, you might have a good time listening to last week's guest, Jeff Warner.
Okay.
And he was playing some source material from his family, and then he would come in and he was starting to sing it, okay? But he was singing it, and you would never say that it wasn't totally traditional.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it was definitely an adaptation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got to put your own personal mark on it. You know, it's if music is going to be a form of creative expression, if you will, then you've got to feel free to express yourself creatively. Yeah. And sometimes that might mean, you know, again, this is my opinion, I love traditional music, I have a great respect for traditional music, but I think I would be bored if I were playing the exact same notes and, you know, playing the song the exact same way every time through. And I know there are people out there who do that, and thank God there are, because that's why the tradition still exists, right?
Well, that's,
you know, without people like that.
That's right.
However, it's, you know, in my personal opinion, I want to be able to, you know, to try some things and to push it a little bit and push the envelope and, you know, maybe add in a drummer here and there and maybe add in a rock guitarist and see what happens. And, yeah, you know, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but that's what's exciting to me about music is the experimentation and sometimes the improvisation and taking something like a beautiful traditional fiddle tune that I've been playing since I was 9 and then saying, oh, you know, so I can play this the traditional way and it sounds nice, it's a great tune, but, you know, what would happen if we put a solo in the middle? Or, you know,
do you ever readapt to them like that? I mean,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This Thursday, I want to.
All right. Sounds good.
You know,
good.
I want to on one of the songs.
Yeah.
You know, we do that a little bit just by intermingling things, which is, you know,
mm-hmm,
one form of that, I would say. But boy, I'm totally with you. Okay, I agree. Let's go
and
have a beer now.
You know, and there's also there's different levels of that, right? I mean, you have fiddle players who will, you know, who will put variations into a tune, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll put their own personal touch on it without without really changing, you know, without adding a bridge or adding a movement or anything like that, or adding untraditional instruments, you know, and that's sort of one level of this reinterpretation and re-envisioning of the traditional music. And then sometimes it gets taken so far to the extreme that, you know, that it's not even recognizable as the tune anymore. And there are certainly people that take issue with that. And I understand why, you know, but to me, that's part of, you know, if you don't take those risks from time to time and try things, then, you know, and occasionally they're not going to fly, or they're not going to sound good. And, you know, that's part of what keeps it alive and keeps it exciting.
Well, they might be afraid that if another version that wasn't the traditional version gets heard and goes out everywhere, that becomes the new tradition and then the old one is lost. Is that what the story is?
I'm sure that that's a concern, and I know that it happens. I mean, take the song Whiskey in the Jar, for instance, which I think most people, if, you know, not necessarily in the Irish music circles, but most people, if you say the song Whiskey in the Jar, they're going to say, oh yeah, Metallica. And I think Metallica even won a Grammy or something for their cover of this traditional Irish song, and they totally changed it. You know, they changed the words, they changed the format. And, you know, I don't care for their version particularly, but it was hugely successful and hugely popular. And I think probably most people are more familiar with their version of the song than with a traditional Irish version of it.
I think you're probably right.
And whether
Metallica too, though.
Sure.
I mean, I like their Black album and stuff like that. But anyways, see, I didn't even know that they did Whiskey in a Jar until later on. So where am I coming from, I wonder? Jeez, I'm always feeling like I'm in limbo. But I mean, you know, but my feeling is make something accessible, accessible, and then people will come to it, and then you give them that, and then but then you can just back right off and say, hey, here's something else.
Sure, sure, absolutely. And, you know, and nothing is going to appeal to everyone. And that's, you know, that's was a tough lesson, I guess, for me to learn, because I, growing up, wanted to please everyone and wanted my music to reach everyone and have everyone be a fan of it. And that's, you know, entirely unrealistic. And so, you know, now and then you have to accept that, you know, if I do an all original, you know, Celtic ish traditional ish album with drums on it, that there are people who like this album, and there are certainly people who don't. And you know, and I respect that. And, you know, the next time around, the next recording project I do is going to be a more traditional type of project that I'm very excited about.
Oh, no kidding.
Probably not my own material. It'll be more traditional tunes, and that will be aimed more toward the market of people who want to hear acoustic traditional tunes. And there are definitely, you know, fans of my music and fans of Into the Cold that are going to hear that and say, oh, you know, where's all the drums? Where's all the, you know, the energy?
You know what you could do is you could split the room down the middle. You could have like aisles, you know, sort of like bride and groom side.
Sure.
You could have Into the Cold side, and then you could have traditional side.
Right.
You could face one side during one song and face the other. I've actually always wondered this. If you come out with something like Into the Cold and you have a lot of fans of that, and then you come out with something that's all traditional music, and you have a lot of fans of that, they're all going to show up together.
Mm-hmm.
And are they going to like each other?
Well, that's a good question. And those are the shows where I would want to mix and match, and where I would want to be doing some that are more relaxed and more acoustic, and some that are more up energy. And, you know, and then I just have to hope that the people who don't care for the slow ones, we'll sit through it until they get to the faster ones. And, you know, it's all about balancing it anyway.
All about balance. I want to play something older before you're Into the Cold. I'd love to play one of these other bands that you have here, maybe.
Sure.
Oh, I'm sorry, but before I do that, I just want to mention, tell me about this other teacher that you have.
Oh, right. So after I studied with Dudley Laufman and Jacqueline Laufman for a while, I was interested in moving more toward some of the Irish styles of fiddling, and so I started taking lessons from a woman named Carolyn Parrott, who lives in Hopkinton, and she I really lucked out with my teachers. Another great lady, great fiddle player. Her husband Brad Dorsey is my go-to guy for all things fiddle repair related. I've got all my fiddles from him, and I always go to him for bow rehairing. And you know, and so they're another couple that's been, you know, wonderful and very supportive. And I studied with Carolyn for probably a year or two.
So the people that you've studied with are not rockers.
No, that was something that I got into as I got older. You know, I went to college and realized that, you know, there's a certain level of interest that people will have in your music if it's traditional Irish folk, and then there's a certain level that they will have if you're, you know, playing in the rock band at the party and taking a fiddle solo on electric fiddle. And that's, you know, that's definitely something that I fell prey to and wanted to explore. And I'm glad I did, you know, and I've definitely come back around from that now. And I love the quiet traditional sets as much as I do the loud rocking ones where everybody's drunk and jumping around. You know, they're fun for different reasons. And I also think that they really complement each other. And I think that my traditional fiddling got a lot better and a lot more creative after having played with a funk band and a jam band and a rock band and all of that. And I think, you know, vice versa, that taking a rock solo as an Irish fiddle player, you're coming up with things to do, you know, that you might not necessarily have done had you not had a background in Irish music. So I just love mixing, you know, crossing over the genres. And that's what gets really exciting to me, because I don't think that it happens a lot. And so when you're taking people with a blues background or a jazz background, and they are now your accompanists for an Irish fiddle set, it's not going to sound like most Irish fiddle sets. And that's cool to me.
That's cool to me too. Well, I mean, do you, did you know pentatonic scales before you started playing?
Not by that name. I never went too far into the theory of it. It was more kind of playing by feel. I don't read music.
Okay.
You know, I would probably be a better musician and a more versatile musician if I did, but that's just something that I never went into, because I was having way too much fun feeling it out and playing by ear and by memory, which is generally the way that traditional music is passed down anyway.
So how do you get a record and listen to it? Record. Do you get a CD?
Dating yourself, Steve. Yeah.
And listen to some of the grooves on the record? Yeah, is that what we do? Yeah, on your hi-fi stereo tube?
Right. Yeah, growing up, I learned a lot of the fiddle tunes that I know from listening to records, Natalie McMaster records, Martin Hayes, you know, the list goes on as far as that. And then the other biggest thing that I've done or that's happened to me, I should say, that's improved my playing the most, I think, is just working with some really talented musicians, especially musicians who are playing other instruments and other types of music. Because when you're trading solos with a ripping electric guitar player who's just really shredding this, you know, this jam band song, it kind of pushes you, you know, pushes your comfort zone, and it opens up a new realm of possibility if you can kind of keep your ear open. And and I think that's more than anything else, I think that's what has improved my playing, is just the working with some really talented people.
Well, that's great. Well, let's listen to some. I mean, are these what you have brought in for us, examples of something like that, this older band that you were working with?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, here's a, so this is a CD from a band called Gemantics. And this was a rock band that I was working with a few years ago. The band does not exist any longer, but we had a great little run for about 2.5 years, playing all around New England, and track 3 would probably be the best one here. This was one of the first times that I had stepped out of the traditional mold and tried my hand at something else.
All right, let's see. This is Gemantics, track 3. What is the name of this?
The Walk / Wandering Traveler, I think, is what we called this one.
All right. We'll be. You know what? Actually, I'm sorry. Right before I do this, I was going to do it after the song, but then I realized I'm probably going to want to say something after the song.
Go right ahead.
So I have to let you all know and keep you waiting, but I need to let you know that Beacon Hospice is seeking volunteers to create life review posters for local hospice patients. The life review poster is a collection of various pictures throughout one's life. Anyone who enjoys scrapbooking and would be interested in volunteering can connect with Whitney at 603-433-2480. And I know I've done this one. This wasn't assigned to me to do it, but I've done it 3 weeks in a row because I think that hospice is a really important thing to people, not just the people that are dying, but to their families and everything else as well. And it's a really important thing to get out there. So if you can do it and you can help people with this, I think it's a great thing. Connect with Whitney at 603-433-2480, Beacon Hospice. You could also email Whitney Blethen, it looks like your name is, WHITNEY.BLETHEN at AMEDISYS.com. We'll be right back on Local Folk. program's called Local Folk, Jordan.
I'm sorry, Steve. We crossed the line.
We crossed the line. Hey, that sounded sweet.
Well, thanks, man.
Yeah.
I haven't played that song in probably 2 years since the band broke up. It's fun to hear it again.
Oh, yeah. It is fun to hear it again. Plus, they broke it down, and then you started playing it, and then you built it back up. And so, in fact, you know what's interesting is that your album, Into the Cold, sounds trad compared to that.
Right. Yeah, that was sort of a step back in the trad direction, I think, after the band broke up.
Everyone that thought that Into the Cold thing was not too trad, well, I should play a little some of it now. You go, oh, this sounds like what you might hear in a place called Canterbury.
Right.
So I don't even remember what we were going to talk about, except that... So were you listening to this stuff? Did this transformation happen? Were you doing... Okay, let me back up.
Okay.
Before you went to college, what kind of music were you listening to? Were you listening to the traditional stuff, or were you listening to rock music, or were you listening to it, like, on your Walkman, but you were only going to lessons to learn trad? Right. When did this stuff start to happen? When did that little seed get planted where, like, hey, yeah, I could probably do this.
It was actually, I can tell you specifically when the seed was planted. It was my high school graduation. My class decided to play the song Freebird for our graduation song.
Freebird,
and we didn't really have an electric guitarist, so I borrowed an electric fiddle and played the the whole the electric guitar solo on the fiddle, and was like, huh, you know, that actually kind of worked. That was interesting. And yeah. So yeah, I mean, I listened to a ton of traditional music growing up, because that's how I learned my tunes and because I loved it.
Yeah.
I also, especially when I was around friends who didn't necessarily share that interest, I listened to, you know, anything from Fish to AC/DC to, you know, any of the, you know, more popular, I guess you'd call it pop music, loosely.
Well, were you there when Jerry Garcia, when the Garcia Grissom album came out?
No, at least I wasn't paying attention. If I was there, I wasn't paying attention.
Do you know it even to this day?
I've heard of it. I can't say that I've listened to it.
Oh, okay. It's a good one.
All right.
Yeah, no, the reason that I ask is that, you know, a lot of people that were listening to, like, the Fish or the Dead, what they mm-hmm. didn't truly realize is that they were listening to traditional songs.
Mm.
Not with Fish, but the Dead, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of traditional songs that were just electrified and this and that. And
right.
when he did some of that acoustic stuff with Grisham or Grisman.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I know who you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They said, wow, I like this. And I almost feel like it was a gateway for them to the other music.
Mm.
But this was not the case for you. In fact, you came from the opposite direction, where you were like, all right, I'll give Freebird a try.
Yeah.
And then you were like, not bad. Not bad at all. You really did graduate that day.
I guess so. Yeah. Whether it was a step forward or backward is, you know, yet to be determined. But no, and I honestly think, I mean, you know, when I look at my, I'm a full-time musician right now. And so I play with a whole bunch of different projects in order to keep my schedule full and,
right.
you know,
yep.
some semblance of paying the bills. Mm-hmm. A lot of that is traditional. You know, for instance, our Thursday nights at the Stone yep. Church, which is always a blast.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a traditional trio, the Jordan TW trio, that plays a lot of, you know, sort of high energy fiddle tunes, but in generally traditional style. You know, it's upright bass and acoustic guitar and that sort of thing. But I also do a lot of session work over at Rocking Horse Studio in Pittsfield. I'm in the house band there, and so I really lucked out as far as that goes, because it opens up all these opportunities to play on. You know, I think I've probably done 25 recording projects over there on, you know, mostly for people that I've never met before. I'll just get called in when they need a fiddle part. And
well, tell me what that means to be a session player on a house band.
Well, that's basically what it would entail, is just that when there's a project there that, you know, over the course of recording, oftentimes if you don't have everything completely figured out before you walk in, you know, which is, it's a good idea usually to not have that completely figured out. You allow some of the studio music, studio magic to happen. And occasionally that means that they decide they want a fiddle part. And whether that be on a country album or on a rock album or on a bluegrass album, you know, I'm lucky to be the guy who gets the call for that.
Okay.
And so I go over there and, you know, write a part for whatever it is. And, you know, and so that's, I guess that would be the recording session work. But yeah. I also, I play a lot with a handful of other bands, the Adam Ezra Group. I've done some touring with recently, a fantastic band out of Boston that won four, not one, not two, not three, but four New England Music Awards last summer. They're great guys. Really, really nice music. And I had a blast. We did a national tour back in November and we hit something like 22 states in 30 days and, you know, didn't get a lot of sleep, but had a lot of fun and played a lot of music. And that was, you know, they're sort of a acoustic singer-songwriter type of bands. So that's, you know, that's a different, I'm wearing a different hat for that than I would be for, you know, I work a lot with the Dusty Gray Band right now. That's one of my main projects, and that's kind of a blues, southern rock kind of a thing. And that's, and I just love the fact that, you know, if you're doing four or five shows a week and it's with three or four different bands sometimes, it's also in three or four different genres. And so it's a different, it's not only a different group of people that you're working with, but it's a different type of venue. It's a different fan base. It's different material. It's an entirely different feel. And that's, it really keeps it fresh for me because that, you know, I never get sick of it. You know, it always keeps me guessing.
So is it just the pure fact that you're playing the fiddle, you know, and being challenged that is satisfying to you? Because it sounds like you're not loyal to any particular genre.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I think you're probably right there. I love music, as corny as that sounds.
I love music. Right? Yeah, good enough for me.
And I don't want to pigeonhole myself. You know, the most of my knowledge, I would say, is probably on the traditional side of things. And you know, and I absolutely love playing traditional music. And if it's the type of venue where they don't want to hear it jazzed up, they want to hear it straightforward the way it's always been done, I'm totally fine delivering on that because that's how I got started.
Is there any gig that you wouldn't do?
I would not be qualified to play in a symphony orchestra, for instance.
A symphony orchestra. Yeah. Okay, so if they're like, we need a sit-in and violin three, you'd be like, this ain't a violin.
Well, you know, it could be a violin if it were held by the right violinist, but that would not be me.
I am not a... Well, would you do a hip-hop album?
Absolutely. I've done, I've never done an album, but I have done a gig with a hip hop group, and that was a lot of fun.
Okay. So, and would you like, if they were taking, I don't know what they would do, take some things and then sample it.
Yeah, exactly.
And do whatever and stick it in there wherever?
Yeah. Yep.
Would you do a church gig?
Absolutely. Yep. I might have to spend some time learning the material because I was never really the church going type, but absolutely. No, I would love to do that. And a lot of times, I mean, I've played in a lot of churches just as, you know, for special events at churches, and
right.
They often have, I guess it's a generalization, but the churches have great acoustics generally, and it's a lot of fun to play in a room like that.
They have forgiving acoustics.
Right.
Boy, isn't that odd?
Right. Yep.
Usually because there's a lot of good reverb in there and all that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So cool. So as you know, that my program is I decided to have this program because everyone always has a different path, you know, in the music, and you want, you know, I'm hoping that when people hear my program, they could say, and they pull out, I don't know, their old kazoo that's in the junk drawer. I don't know what, you know, something like that, and try to take some sort of action. But you were always so involved with it that it sounds like it was just a calling from when you were calling always.
Yeah, I guess my parents have, you know, embarrassing videos of me at like age three messing around on a keyboard and, you know, playing my toy saxophone and all of that. So I guess, you know, it was always something that I was sort of drawn to. I did start with piano lessons, classical piano, when I was, I guess, like 5 through 8 or something.
What's
like that.
What's your college degree in?
Nothing music related. I was a English and theater double major.
English and theater?
Yes. So performing, there's definitely a performing connection there. I left college and thought I was going to go, you know, become famous as an actor. And didn't quite
acting.
Work out that. Acting, right.
Still do it.
Well, yeah, you know, I guess it's never too late. the music is, the musical life is enough drama for me, so I'm fine.
Well, there's an element to acting when you're performing.
Sure, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, and that's one thing that I think...
people don't know it, but I'm not actually a friendly person at all.
Right. Yeah, you're a really good actor.
It's just acting.
Well, sure. Anytime you step on a stage and... And it's interesting, actually, I recently had the chance to combine the two. I was in Pennsylvania and New York for the first 2 weeks of this month in a play called Finnegan's Farewell.
Finnegan's Farewell.
And it's they called it interactive musical comedy. It was basically dinner theater. It was a fake Irish wake. And so it was all, you know, there's a script and there's actors cast in these roles and all of that. And the role that I was cast in was the Irish fiddle player.
Perfect.
Imagine that. So, yeah. And so, you know, I had a character for myself. I was, Declan O'Malley from Donegal, and definitely in interacting with people and improvising and all of that. There was some acting. But my main purpose at being at that show was not to be an actor. It was to play the fiddle and put on a concert in character. And so it was really fun to kind of mess around with that whole concept of, instead of putting on a concert as myself, yeah, which does absolutely require a certain degree of acting and being aware of, you know, of performance and of what it looks like on the stage and what it sounds like and how the crowd is engaging and what you can sort of give and take from the crowd's energy. And I mean, you know, all that stuff is stuff that every musician has to deal with and has to be aware of. And in this case, it was just fun to kind of add that extra level of make believe or something, because I wasn't actually myself. And it was very freeing, because, you know, when I missed a note, it was like, oh yeah, you know, my character missed that note. That, you know, that wasn't me.
That character of mine, that silly character.
That Declan can't
notes.
Seem to tune his fiddle. So
must have been zipping the skibaha a little bit too much. That right. character, not me.
Yep.
Well, you know what's funny is, actually, I find it a lot easier to play other people's music than I do to play a song or to sing a song that I wrote.
Sure, absolutely.
Because you're not all out there. You know,
right.
I mean, it's almost easier to be slightly detached like that.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah,
in that sense. So, anyways, but that's another conversation, I guess, for a whole nother, the acting and all that.
Yep.
But no, yep. I just want to bring up though that, I mean, sometimes there is that element of it, because if you don't have any stage presence, it's going to be a lot of dead air.
Yeah, dead air, and you can be playing the best music in the world, but if people aren't perceiving it as a performance, then oftentimes their interest is lost and they won't actually be able to lock in and appreciate that music.
Do you have a favorite joke that you tell while you're tuning up?
I've always heard, we tune because we care. That's
we tune because
I've been known to use that a few times. I didn't come up with it.
Not bad. Hey, we really only have a few minutes left, so I want to talk about a few things. Where can you be seen around here? What does your schedule look like? Where do you want to tell people? Where do you want them to go?
Well, I guess my website would be the best place, which is www.jordantwmusic.com. And I try to keep that updated with all the local appearances. I honestly, they're so, as we were talking about, they're so scattered between different bands and different genres that I don't keep them in my head very well.
Okay.
I know we'll be at the Dusty Gray Band will be at Macris Lobster and Steakhouse in Concord on Friday night.
On Friday.
I think like 8 to midnight or something along those lines.
Cool.
8:30 to midnight. Of course, there's the every Thursday at the Stone Church.
That's
if you want to come out for some Irish music and hear Mr. Steve Kerrigan himself singing all those Irish classics. And we have a lot of great, great sit-ins and, you know, great guests that come out. And that's really turned into a really fun night. And it's family friendly. If you've got kids and you feel like you can never go out and go to the bar and hear live music anymore because you have kids, You can.
Bring them. Not only that, you can go to that place, the Stone Church, that you always remember from college, that you always only sort of remember from college because you were like, was I really there?
Right,
that night?
Right. Yeah.
That was wacky, you know? But the place is different. It's clean, and I mean, it's a great environment. On greatbaysailor.com, there's a picture slideshow. Did you ever get a chance to see that?
I haven't yet, no.
Yeah, there's a cool picture slideshow of the whole thing with, Jordan TW Music is where you can go when you don't even want to have to stand up. You just get right in front of your computer.
Yep.
And do that. And that has, the week of a working musician is pretty relatively full, huh? It's usually weekends and it's different genres and you're all over the place then.
Yep. Yep. Things often tend to slow down on Mondays and Tuesdays, but it picks right back up again and I'm on the road, usually around New England. Occasionally we'll go on a little adventure further afield. But I don't think there's anything coming up that's, you know, beyond, I think New Jersey would be the furthest away.
Do you teach?
I do. Yeah. Part-time. I teach in Concord at Strings and Things. That's been a really interesting learning experience in itself. I've gained a lot of respect for my teachers and what they would have dealt with me as a, you know, as a new student. And it's really exciting. It helps me to kind of figure out, you know, what it is that I'm doing when I have to try to explain it to other people. And it can be really exciting to see when they, when that light bulb goes off in their head and they get it and they get excited about it. And, you know, a kid comes in and they've been practicing all week, and yeah, it's a pretty good feeling. It's nice to see that there's a new generation of fiddle players that are working hard.
That is super cool. Hey, if you want any more information, obviously, JordanTWMusic.com. If you want to listen to this episode again, it's going to be on WSCAFM.org in their video, in their audio archive. And then after that, you can find it at StephenCarrigan.com, StephenCarrigan.com. There's a tab for local folk, and I try to keep an archive of just about every episode that I've had. There's been a few that I've missed, and I do apologize for any number of different reasons. But anyways, I'm always here on Mondays. Jordan, thank you so much for finally coming in to join me today.
Thank you, Steve. This has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you having me.
No problem at all. We're going to leave, and we're going to leave you with a song or a tune off of Jordan's album, Into the Cold. Which one would you like?
Why don't we go for the title track? Track 9 is called Into the Cold.
All right, and this is a song, I've been told.
It is, yes.
Into the Cold, and that is going to bring us into the next program, which is called Under the Radar. It's plenty warm, but let's be into the cold. We will see you all next week on Local Folk. Good night, everyone.
Time has come, the hour to move on. The world's still turning and we're just along for the ride. The one constant in history, change is no mystery. No one can hold back the time. Stones in the river, we'll find the way as we go. With a sigh and a shiver, out into the cold. Stay where you are, but fading embers and memories of what once was here. No time for celebrating, with life accelerating. I want just one more day. Well, that can't happen, I fear. Stones in the river, find the way as we go. With a sigh and a shiver, out into the cold. Unknown. Snow is deep, but you know that you cannot stand still. 'Cause you're due for adventure. You gotta unclench your grip and let yourself float where you will. Like the water the stones in the river, you'll find your way as you go. With a sigh and a shiver, out into the cold. like the water flows. I'll find the way as I go with a sigh and a shiver out into the cold.